I got coffee at the Creek Coffee Place, which
that.
Is that place is good.
Good.
And they gave me a free T-shirt.
Are you too bright? Are we both too bright?
I'm pretty bright.
Hi, I'm Jim. Welcome to the Unbound Performance Podcast, where we explore the world of sports and performance mindset training.
And I'm Caroline. Each week, we talk about the strategies, habits, and mental framework that help us to excel. Let's get into today's episode.
Do you count audiobooks as reading? As an avid book reader?
A lot of people do, so I'm...
I asked you, was the question.
I don't ever really think about it, because I don't read them like that. I'll read them on my phone. Like I have...
Like Kindle app or something like that?
Yeah, I have a Nook app. I mean, I think reading a physical book has perks, but not everybody's got time to plop down and...
And like you said, this one kind of listened like a podcast almost, like a conversational kind of.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. I listened to it in the car, on the plane, and everything. So.
What made you do that?
I was looking for a book to recommend to my husband. And then you and I talked about this one a while back, and I asked which book to read first, and you suggested It Takes What It Takes. And then I kind of liked the idea of the whole like neutral thinking for anybody, not just like if there's something going on, you need to start learning how to think neutrally. I think that's probably a pretty good way to live. And so I was like, hey, you should read this. And then I was like, maybe I should just read. And I discovered it was free. Well, as part of like my Spotify premium app, I get like 15 hour listening hours a month. So I just snagged that one. And so I listened to it, finished it on the plane on Friday. And I've got a whole notes app full of quotes that I wrote down. That was my only negative, is like I like to highlight things in a book, which is good, especially this kind of book. But it just wasn't part of my opportunity at this point. So anyway, I felt like this just had a lot of... I don't think I can say I really walked away feeling like, oh yeah, I know how to think neutrally now, necessarily. And that's probably more of a conversation I was going to ask you about. Mm-hmm. But some of the things that he talked about, his story and experiences that he had, and stories of a lot of athletes that he described, and either successful or the total opposite, was helpful just to get some ideas. And I wrote down a couple of thoughts or quotes from his that I thought were... I felt like a lot of it was about... a lot of the stuff that I took away was sort of the hope to become different, the changes you can make to become and think differently, and more specifically that if you want to perform or succeed or be successful like a certain person, like study them and do what they do, which you and I've talked about a whole bunch of times. But he had a lot of points about, you know, it's just your next move is what's going to make the trigger, the next thought, the next habit, the next day, the next, you know, try again. He talked a lot about, there were a couple of athletes specifically, and you'll probably be able to remember the name, but that young, like 14-year-old soccer player, Prodigy, that was kind of failed by U.S. soccer, was how we put it.
Yeah. No, I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But yeah, he became he wasn't just at 14. He played on national teams all the way through.
Right. But then he ultimately ended up in some like D-League kind of deal somewhere and not really being super, super successful. And it was sort of, I felt like Trevor suggested it was sort of a cultural issue with the way that they wanted to train the kid rather than trying to understand what was going to work for him at that point. I mean, I can hit a million things about this book. You may have a better overarching thought. I mean, I could read you a bunch of quotes all day long. I feel like this was all like I took away from this, and that was great. But ultimately, I felt like it was just a good sort of story of hope and hopefulness for a different way of thinking.
Yeah, I think so often it's obvious that don't be negative, don't think negative.
Be positive.
But then there's the other, like, just try to be positive. And I mean, I've heard him in an interview one time say sometimes like failing at being positive is just like something else to feel like you failed at, something else to feel guilty about, you know, I'm not good enough or whatever. And so he kind of just right down the middle with this neutral thinking approach, which does very much line up with like Tim Galway's like inner game, you know, like judgment free, you know, if you're not pursuing praise or avoiding criticism, either one is not very conducive to like being in the zone or flow state or thinking neutrally. You just, you know, even like a stoic, the obstacle is the way kind of approach.
Yeah, I think maybe that was why when I said I don't feel like I necessarily left with like a step-by-step instructions for how to do this, because I think it tends to be, okay, my situation is this and it feels very bad, and so I'm thinking negatively about it. And I think for me, my thought is, okay, I know how to flip the script and try to think about it positively, but like, how do you, where's the halfway point to not just jump to, okay, my situation's bad, I wish I could do blank, to this is actually a really good thing, and I can do this to make all these positive changes, and this is a learning lesson. And like, I don't know where you find the in-between. I think that's the challenging part, right? Is finding the in-between, just sort of accepting without judgment, like you said.
That's super in line with a lot of science. Like Susan David's book, Emotional Agility, she talks about like acceptance without judgment. And if you're trying to just suppress, like, no,
right,
stop thinking like that, you're going to drive yourself crazy, and you'll just fixate on the very thing you don't want to be thinking about.
The thing you want to
think.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the old don't think about pink elephants or whatever. You know, next thing you know, that's all you're thinking about. So I think the acceptance doesn't mean resignation, like, so it is.
Right.
It means like, yeah, that's happening. And then you just kind of let those thoughts go by. But I think he does talk a lot in there about different tools you can use to kind of get a hold of your thoughts a bit, or kind of choose more helpful or productive thoughts. You know, and he uses the example, you know, when he's talking to Alabama football early in the book, and he holds up a bag of Doritos and an apple. You know, it's like, is it really a choice?
Yeah.
And some things are obviously, you know, yeah, if you have your goals outlined or who or what you want to become, then the decisions you make are, they don't really have decisions.
Yeah.
Like you, and you know, like when he was talking to Vince Carter and Trevor had been working with Florida State football. And at one point, this is years ago, a few of the players had been arrested. So Vince Carter, big college football fan, and he asked Trevor, I was like, those guys all want to play in the NFL. And at this point, Vince Carter was, you know, like 40,
right,
still in the NBA.
And
Trevor said, yeah, they do. And he goes, don't they realize that they don't have any choices? Like, if you want to do this, and this is the only
way to do it.
Yeah. Like, and so like Vince Carter, to allow himself to play in the NBA that long, that just meant he didn't have any choices to make. There were like only one way forward. And
there's another, I think it was a football player, who just kept getting injured, or,
oh, it's Fred Taylor, running back.
And he just kept getting frustrated that he just kept getting injured. And it suddenly it was, did Trevor work with him?
Yep.
Sometimes I get that tune out, but I remember the gist of it. And it was like little things like, okay, what are the guys who aren't getting injured doing? Oh, they're going to the training room an hour before practice. Well, what could they possibly be doing? I don't know, but they're going, so I'm going to go. I thought that was a really good pointing out specifically to say, like, what are they doing? What are they doing there? I don't know, but they're going and they're not getting injured. So I'm going to go and find out. And it was just those, like, adopting those little habits of the people who are successful. Now, listen, if he's got a bad hamstring or whatever it is, like, it might just be, but all those extra, especially that high in sports, where your body is just taking a beating constantly, especially in that injury scenario, it seemed like a pretty good starting point. So, okay, the guys who aren't getting injured and who are playing well, what are they doing? And I'm just going to do it. I'm not sure what I'm going to get out of it, but I'm going to do it. And that suddenly led to him being successful and being playing more injury free. And I thought that was just, sometimes it takes opening your eyes a little bit, not just saying like, oh, I must just be the injured guy, and those guys are lucky because their body's healthy. Specifically, what might they be doing that's different from what I'm doing to help to help that. And that's something I think is so easy to overlook. And just, I think it tends to be that more negative and positive thinking of like, oh, well, it's just my luck. This is just the way it is. I must just have bad fill in the blank. But until, you know, I think before you can just accept that I have a bad hamstring, like, have you exhausted all the possible options?
Well, that's, he had
to get there or whatever his injury eating, was.
He got more sleep, you know, made a number of decisions.
And that was one of those, you don't have a choice. If you want to do this and perform or succeed like them, and it worked. I thought the specific interesting part about that one was that it was a injury, physical related thing. It wasn't like a mindset shift necessarily. I mean, it was in a sense because he had to commit to doing those things, but it just goes to prove even further that it's not just, okay, how you think can help your performance, but how you think and how you act helps your physical nature and helps your physical health, and which then leads to performance. It was just like this huge trickle effect for him that I thought was really pretty eye-opening.
Yeah, it was, well, you know, Moad's point about the positive thing, like some things, it's really difficult to find the positive, like, I tore my ACL and I'm out for the whole season.
Oh, this is good.
Okay. Well, now you can frame it in a way that, okay, well, I'm going to come out the other end stronger and tougher and better.
Like in the moment, it's hard to say that this is a good thing. Yeah.
You can't sit there and say, you know, I'm pretty happy I tore my ACL. Like nobody's doing that. So the whole like think positive note, like that's where to me, like thinking neutrally, okay, this is the situation I'm in, but I'm not going to sit here and feel sorry for myself, nor am I going to try to find some Pollyannish way of like feeling great about it. Yeah. Like, but I am going to be determined and I'm going to work. And when this is over, I will have turned this into a positive, quote unquote, you know, it's it like post-traumatic growth.
I
don't
make it positive right now, but I can do the things to the, on the other side of it. Say, okay,
right.
I grew from this. I got better from this. I learned a lesson from this.
Yeah. So that's, I think he does talk about, you know, like mindfulness some in there and things like that, that help us become more aware of what we're thinking. He talks about controlling inputs, you know, like for him when he had gone through a divorce, he wouldn't let himself listen to the news or like country music.
He was testing something too on that one. He like did a 30-day test on himself.
Oh yeah.
So I guess it's sort of, when you're listening to the book, it kind of sounds like he's going through the divorce as he's writing. I'm not sure if that's actually happening, but he did like a 1-month test on himself where he listened to country music and he listened, which, I mean, it wasn't country music specific. I mean, it was country music, but it was more the themes of country music.
Yep.
And he said something like, I've never heard this before, but it was something like, if you listen to country songs backwards, your life ends up being good. Like if you say like, I lost my dog, I lost my wife, my truck broke down. If you say it backwards, it ends up being a really good story in the end.
Yeah.
And so he did this test where he listened to the music and he watched the news, and he was doing the opposite of all the good outputs. And I thought it was, because I thought to myself, well, he knows how to do this stuff. Like that he's going to be able to. And he said at the end of that 30 days, he was like in a pretty crappy place.
Yeah.
So I think that controlling the inputs. And then this quote I wrote down, which was the first one that I was like, I thought was pretty decent. Actually, it was like the fifth or sixth one, but I like this. He said, think about the things you can stop doing right now, today. Think about putting a muzzle on negative expression for the next 24 hours. Negative thoughts can cross your mind, and they will, but for one full day, forbid yourself from verbalizing them. Witness the difference that it has in your mental state, your relationships, your outcomes. You'll be amazed. Like, I think that's one of those things where you are in a bad spot and it's easy to vent to somebody else or to talk about it or to like meddle on it in your own head. But just one day of not speaking about it. Just like, and I think that's kind of the idea, is like I'm in this situation. Is talking about it or verbalizing it or complaining about it actually helping me? Or we did this episode on venting a long time ago.
Yeah.
But that's similar, like, am I just sort of perpetuating it? Or do I think it's actually helping? And it tends to be the first. It's not actually going to get, you can't just get it off your chest and move on. He said, in the middle of adversity, we have an opportunity to test our belief system. Can your behaviors outcompete your negativity? think that was a big one too. Was like, it's about your behaviors. It's not about turning the negative positive. And I think an interesting backstory on him was his upbringing with his dad, sort of using, he kind of suggested he was like his dad's science project of sort of testing Moab. This.
Yeah.
And his dad was very much a positive thinking mm-hmm. type mindset. Yep. And so he was raised in this like positive affirmations, and he talked about his dad had cancer, and he walked in one day and his dad's reading him to himself these affirmation cards about, you know, but his shift from, okay, positive thinking was sort of his dad's mindset, but he realized that that wasn't quite the way, but that more neutral thinking was. So I think it's just those little behaviors of not leaning too heavily, you know, positive or negative, which is, it's very hard. By yeah. no means is it something that's just like, oh, yep, just going to neutrally think.
But well,
the habits to get there.
The book, The Power of Bad, they talk in there about like the thing is to like reduce/eliminate the negative. And he talks in this book about how it's, you know, negative thought 47 times more impactful mm-hmm. than a positive one. You say it out loud, it's times 10.
Yep.
And that's where the whole venting thing, I just had to vent. All you're doing is throwing more negative crap out into the right. world, and it nothing is resolved, nothing is dealt with. Like, but if you're discussing some negative event in a solution-based mode, yeah. okay. But just complaining about it for yeah. half an hour.
Well, this one was in all caps because I felt like he almost said it out loud in all caps. It was like, stop thinking stupid shit out loud.
Yes.
And I think he said that more than once stop in this book. Stop saying
stupid shit out loud. Yeah.
He said stop thinking it, which is like saying it. Yeah. Either way.
Yeah.
But like you're thinking these negative thoughts. And we've said a million times too, you can't control what goes through here.
Yep.
But it's what you do with it next that really can right. make the biggest impact. And so that the idea of just, if okay, it's a thought, I'm trying to let it move on, which is much easier said than done, as we both know. But the more you practice trying to yep. reframe or move forward, the better and easier that gets.
Yes. And that's, I don't know how I came upon that book at first. Maybe I just saw it in the bookstore when it came out and I just looked at it, boom, grabbed it. Yeah. And then they had an article on him in Sports Illustrated too, where he was like the world's greatest performance coach or whatever. Yeah. And
he's
worked with, yeah, he's worked with some big deal programs for sure. There's a great interview with him and Michael Johnson on YouTube. It's half an hour. Everybody watching should look that up. Because Michael Johnson has some great things to say too. Because I think, you know, like the positive affirmation thing, I think there's something to doing some of that, but it can also be like almost ridiculous. Like yeah. if all you're going to do is sit there and say things to yourself over and over, but you do like every thought you have, you know, we've said this before, touches every cell in your body. So you need to try to produce helpful, productive thoughts. And sometimes saying those things out loud is a good way to do that. And like Michael Johnson, he had his little pre-race mantra, you know, which this guy competes in a sport that, like for the Olympics, it's every 4 years and it comes down to like 10 seconds. Yeah. And so he would say, you know, I can't remember specific. I think it was like head up, shoulders,
yeah,
forward, explode. I'm a bullet.
I'm a bullet. Yeah, it's a no end of that.
You know, he just did that before every race, and it's just a, I don't know, very interesting conversation. And Trevor had worked, and Michael Johnson, they worked together some of a lot of this stuff, and but the neutral. It almost, too, sometimes people hear that and think it's kind of like an emotionless or stoic in a way that is almost robotic. Yeah. And that is not the point.
Right.
But it, what it means is you're not going too far this way, too far that way. Instead, you're just like staying right here where you can do something about it. And I think that's, it's easy. Well, the negative thing, it's so easy to head in that direction. You know, we just kind of automatically do that. Or, you know, we'll try to like beat it into our heads, be positive. And I think both of those are, I don't know, kind of a waste of time.
Yeah.
Instead of, all right, where do I want to go? Why do I want to go there? How can I get there? And just being real systematic about mapping out a plan, strategy, whatever. And like for him, there's like, I'm not going to listen to country music. Right. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
I'm only going to listen to like 3 minutes of news a day or whatever because I can't handle the rest.
Well, it's, I mean, it's your it's a natural emotional response. Like if you've gone through a breakup and then you go listen to breakup songs, you're going to keep on feeling bad about it, right?
Yeah.
Like you think like, oh, this is going to feel good. This is going to like, but like it's the absolute worst thing you can do. Like you feel like you're somehow relating to whoever's singing the song, but the reality is like it's just perpetuating that misery.
Yep.
And who the hell wants to do that? There's this, this was the last quote I wrote down. Too many people say, I am what I am, and this is a statement of surrender. It means you aren't willing to learn and grow and adapt as the environment changes. Even worse, you know you aren't willing to change. You are what you do and you become what you've done, but who you can and will be become, but who you can and will become lies in who you are next. And that will be determined by what you do next and how you address the roadblocks in the immediate road you're traveling. Like,
that was it.
Like, yeah,
he says,
mic drop. Like, that was just one of those. I
the
think
past
it's so,
is not predictive of the future.
Yes, you've talked about this before. It's just like,
in there.
You, everyone's like, oh, like, I am what I've done. Yeah, but you also are what you will become.
Yep.
And you can become what you do next. And it's just those like tiny little steps that I think is when you're in that depth of darkness or I can't do anything differently or this is just too hard. It's not, okay, how's tomorrow going to be different? It's like, how is this next 60 seconds going to be different? How is the next hour going to be different? Like, what am I going to do very specifically, like you said, systematically to take those little baby steps? Like I always kind of describe, it's like, if you can just get your fingertips back on the ledge of the hole, that's all you need.
Yep.
Like you need, he also talked about, if we don't become hopeless, then we can't become helpless. Like all it takes is that little thread of hope to be able to get better and to be able to, it doesn't have to be that this only applies to people who are in some deep, dark place. This can be any situation where you want to be different or you want to be better or you want to, you know, think more neutrally, specifically. Just that little bit of hope is all it takes.
Yeah, it's that book was great. I talked about the second book he wrote, Getting to Neutral. That was published after he had died.
Yeah.
Cancer. That's a really emotional read, knowing like, but I really loved, I read that book like crazy. And then I was like tracking down every podcast I could find.
I think it's the kind of book. I think having listened to it on audiobook too, and it's him. I love when the author is the reader of their book.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of thing that you could just like, listen to all, like if you're just, you don't need to, it doesn't need to be a certain order of chapters. I mean, it's helpful for the first time to go through front, you know, front to back kind of deal, but it's the kind of thing where I might just say like, hey, I need a reminder, and just turn on wherever I landed last, and you're gonna get in 15 minutes, you're gonna get something to take away from that. It was funny, I was telling a friend about this book, and I think I mentioned to you, I don't typically read or listen, I mean, I sometimes I do, but like the prologue and whatever. And Russell Wilson wrote it and is reading it on the thing. And I was telling my friend about this, and she said, I thought this was interesting. She was like, I know, she went to NC State. So she's like, I know I should be a Russell fan. She's like, and I was, she said, but I've heard all these things from NFL guys that he's like, he's just a little weird. And like, he's just like, he's not a guy's guy. And after having listened to this and hearing all the things that he does very differently than probably your average person, I thought to myself, well, what's wrong with him not being a guy's guy? Like, yeah, he's a little weird, and that's why he's successful. Like, he does these kooky kind of quirky things that aren't your average, and that's probably why he ends up being successful. So I just thought that was an interesting take from someone who had no idea why I was reading this or what I was talking about or anything, to point that out. And I immediately, my immediate reaction was, Yeah, I can probably see how your average person might think that. I mean, he might have weird character traits too. I don't know the guy, obviously. But probably just comparing him from one guy to another, he probably stands out a little different than the rest.
Yeah, I would imagine. I would imagine. I don't know. There were so many stories in there that were just jaw-dropping. Yeah. The one that when he found a clipping of a story in his dad's file cabinet about the refrigeration repair guy in Russia, who I guess was the Soviet Union back then, and he had come to fix this refrigeration unit, gets locked in it overnight, and he just starts like kind of scrawling on the wall inside all the things that he's thinking and feeling, and all of them are wildly unhelpful. Yeah. You know, I can't feel my hands and feet. I'm going to die in here. I'm freezing to death. And so sure enough, when people found him, they opened the unit the next morning and found him and he was dead. But the interesting twist on that story was that it never got below 56 degrees in the unit because it was broken. But that's what the power of our thoughts is, so massive. Yeah. It's almost can't even measure it. And so taking care to maybe not let ourselves just go down those
terrible places.
Yeah. It's, and just one acting like what you want to become, kind of helps. It's a kind of feedback loop. And then just decision by decision, choice by choice, you move in that direction. That doesn't mean it's going to go perfectly. That doesn't mean you're not going to have setbacks. But, you know, if it can be a two steps forward, one step back thing where you just keep plugging.
Yep.
I thought it was a really practical, very useful book. Yep. And it's one of those, like, top of the list books. Like, if people ask me what are, like, especially in the performance realm, what books would you recommend? That's right there.
And despite it being his examples being sports related, I felt like it was very much not a sports book.
Definitely.
Like, he just happened to have worked with teams, but it was very much like anybody.
When he had moved into working with businesses as well. Yeah. And I know he actually is part of starting an organization called Limitless Minds, which you can look up. And there's they're still cranking lots of good stuff. But yeah, I think some of this can seem so amorphous or mystical or hard to get a hold of. And I thought that book just did a great job of kind of like boiling it down to brass tacks. Yep. This is it. Like, you know, apple or bag of Doritos, which one?
Which one?
You know, it's, you know, it's like that kind of decision for everything.
Yep.
And yeah, I thought it was really cool that you started reading it.
I was into it. I blew through it pretty quick. So
yeah.
Appreciate the recommendation.
That's what I'm here for.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Unbound Performance Podcast.
Your support helps us continue to build our community. If you're enjoying this content, please like, subscribe, and share.